I pray that these videos have been encouraging to you and strengthening to you, to encourage you to stay on the path of spiritual growth and encouraging to not get distracted from what God has for you, what He sees as important. Now, I know that all of us, when we start, we kind of get to decide what's important, what's valuable to us. But as we mature in God, at least this is how I personally have experienced it, as I matured in God, I began to find myself giving God the right to tell me what is important, instead of me telling Him what is important. And that's a place that we all have to come to. And I pray that you're there, or you're going to get there quickly, where you start saying, God, my life is yours. It's not my own. I've been bought and paid for. So you, Father, get to tell me what I need to focus on, what I need to do, instead of me telling you where you can help me. That's a growth. That's a growth process, a trusting. I found the more I fell in love with Him, the more I started to trust Him that He wasn't going to reject me, or I quit trying to earn His approval. He gently won me over to where I started to trust Him with my life, trust Him with my steps, that I gave Him the permission to order my steps. And eventually, I quit taking that back. You know, you kind of give Him permission until He walks you to a place you don't like to be. Today, we're going to focus on not being distracted from what is important in our life and allowing Him to lead our steps. And my main distraction early on was being led out of facing my own personal struggles, my own personal imperfections. I didn't live there where I always felt like a failure, but when He saw it was time, He began to focus my attention, my life, on overcoming my natural man instead of being busy in helping other people. Because it's easier to deal with other people's problems and to help other people in their problems than it is ever to face your own self, your own natural outward man. And Paul writes, and we're going to talk about 2 Timothy mainly today, chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He writes to Timothy and encourages Timothy on how to lead, how to be a pastor. And he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearance and His kingdom. Preach the word, he says to Timothy. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And this is a great concern for the early church, and I would say even for us, that we can quit pursuing the truth of God and let the truth grow in us and strengthen in us and tell us who we're supposed to be, and begin to find teachers who will tell us what we want to hear and remove the ones who are preaching the truth. In essence, we take charge of our own schooling. I mean, my son, he's 15 right now, would love to be in charge of his own schooling. He would get to pick his classes, pick his lessons, pick what he thought was important. And if he could line up the teachers that he liked and line up the subjects that he liked, he would be in heaven, but he would definitely stunt his growing, maturing process and learning process in life. And that's kind of why we want God to be the one who tells us what we need to learn instead of us tell God what we need to learn. And so part of Paul's instruction to Timothy as a pastor is to preach sound doctrine and truth with the prayerfulness that the people will latch on to the truth and let the truth work inside of them and move forward in their life. Because individually, each person has to come to a place of how much they walk with God. You have that power. I have that power in my life. You have that power in your life to decide how much of God you really want walking in your life. If we look carefully here in the New Testament, we'll discover that the growth in people's lives is not anointing, is not miracles, is not signs and wonders. Those are definitely gifts and definitely things that we want to see. But the proof of the truth in our life is really holiness and love and joy and order in our life and godliness and the willingness to follow God and the willingness to lay down our life into His hands. And I want us to be careful that we don't mistake anointing, signs and wonders, experiences and activities with spiritual growth in our life. And also be careful which teachers we look up to. I mean, God prayerfully will give you the people in your life that you need to have for that season in your life. I mean, we all have seasons. I kind of look at myself like maybe a third grade teacher where my place is in people's life for a season to help them get through that part of their life. And then they will move on and God will give them other teachers to move them on. And for me not to feel neglected because I'm only in someone's life for a season. I have pastors who I love and will honor for the rest of my life that I needed when I was in my early 20s and then when I was young, but I grew past them by the help of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit ultimately became my guide, my helper, my teacher. And then everyone else that God put in my life are helpers to me and teachers to me, but only through what God shows me. Because I myself am responsible for me. And you yourself are responsible for you. And when you know that, that puts a little more responsibility on us individually to find our place in the body of Christ and to grow in the knowledge and the truth of God and to mature in His knowledge, to mature in sound doctrine, and let that bring forward the fruits of the Spirit. Otherwise, we're really in danger of missing our place in the body of Christ. You know, I'm not going to turn there, but we can read out of 1 Corinthians 12 about the body of Christ and how every person plays a part. The Holy Spirit gets to choose what your part is. You don't get to choose. You know, when you were in your mother's womb and God met with you, you didn't get a vote. Hey, I'd like to be a businessman or an entrepreneur of some sort or a preacher, an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist. Really, the calling is what God stamps on us and brings forward in our life by leading us and giving us direction. And there's so many different parts of the body. You don't want to shortchange God or shortchange yourself by just focusing on the wrong thing and missing the part that God has for you to play. And the part that God has for you is so necessary and so important that you're not allowed to shortchange yourself and say, well, I'm just a, you know, 1 Corinthians, I'm just a foot, I'm not the eye, or I'm just the ear. That we're supposed to accept that God gets to choose our part, but it's our responsibility to walk with God to a place where we grow. When I was a younger preacher, we had a family, a beautiful family in our church. And the son was born, a baby boy was born with one kidney that was small. He wasn't born with the two kidneys, and the one kidney he had was small. And the doctors told the mom that probably by the age of 12, he would need a transplant because his body would outgrow the kidney. And that was something that they had to battle through. And at the age of about 12 or 13, his body had outgrown his kidney. And praise God, he's still doing well today. I know he received a transplant. That kidney has kept him healthy and all these years later. But what happened was his body outgrew that kidney. And I want us to see the body of Christ, that we're his body. He needs us to operate on this earth. As a body, as a group of walking side by side, it's important that we all mature equally in the knowledge of God and rely on God equally individually and not just through other men, but that you personally walk with God and are as valuable and as important. Your knowledge and your maturity in the knowledge in God is as important and valuable as the apostle and the prophet and the pastor and the teacher and the evangelist. Because not all are called to the fivefold ministry, but all are called to be in the body. But to be in the body together, say in a local church, if you're part of a church and you're part of the body, God wants you to walk alongside your pastor, to be a strengthening person there, an encouraging person. But if you are maybe the kidney that's too immature, then the body grows past you and you become unable to handle your part because you haven't matured. And I don't want that to happen to any of us, that we are, I don't want to say left behind, but we can't keep up with what God wants to do with us as a group, because we stop focusing on growth, we stop focusing on gaining knowledge in the Spirit, and we lost focus. And that'll never happen if you and I allow the Lord to have leadership in our life and allow Him to instruct us personally each day or in through seasons what we should focus on. And God is very strong on not agreeing to you negotiating or me negotiating with Him. All right, God, I like what you're telling me to do, but really, I like to switch that. You know, my children, they play the switch and bait with me all the time as a parent. Son, I need you to go, or my beautiful daughter, I need you to go and clean your room. Well, you know, I really think I need to work on homework. What, all of a sudden now you want to work on homework when I'm trying to get you to clean your room? You know, when you give them a task they don't want to do, it's one of the tricks you learn with your kids, is give them something they really don't want to do and they'll do something they like to do less. You know, it's an offering to switch. Like, I'll still do something that's good for me, but I don't want to do what you're telling me to do. And God's really strong that He will never allow that, that He will stay right in place and not move until you face what He wants you to move, and until you face what He wants you to face and overcome what He wants you to overcome. Because He's a good father for you. And being a good father means that you want your children to grow up. As a father myself, I heard it said, and I love this, you can either make your children safe by protecting them all the time, or you can make your children strong by having them face things and grow things and make decisions in their life. So when they get older, they're not afraid of the war or the enemy or life, but they're strong to face life with faith in God. And God is like that, where He wants us to be strong, that we can overcome anything. And that strength is going to come from sound doctrine and truth, the truth of God being birthed inside of us in our inner man. And we can overcome all untruths and deceptions by the truth of God in us. And so let's go back a few chapters. And let's read in chapter 2, verse 14. There's something that God has for you. There's a walk that God has for you. And one of the frustrations that I almost fell to and almost gave up pursuing a deeper walk with God, pursuing a growth, a growing up in the knowledge of God, and the knowledge specifically of what God had for me. Because praise the Lord that, you know, when you begin to discover and God begins to walk you into what He designed for you specifically, there's so much peace, because then you quit doing 1,000 things and you can do one great thing, you know, what He has called you to be. And again, I'll go back to 1 Corinthians 12. If we're all part of a body, it means that He sees us all as important. And if you don't think the whole body is important, just go down to the hospital and you'll find that they have different wards, different specific parts of the body that they focus on. You'll find there's an eye doctor there that focuses only on the eyes. And you'll find there's a heart specialist and a kidney specialist and a liver specialist. There's whole sections within a hospital that deal with different parts of the body. And if all your parts are working great, you run life and life seems great until one part isn't doing its job. And then we go see the doctor and he sends you to a specialist. And that specialist begins to look at your body and say, well, your liver isn't doing well. The rest of you, your kidney's doing great, your heart's doing great, but the liver is what's causing problem. And so we all know of people who die from one part of their body not functioning healthily. And the rest of their body is great, but one part is dysfunctional. And I want to say that to allow you to see the value that God places on every part of us. on you specifically. Your part in the body is so important that the rest of the part of the body can be slowed down if you don't decide to grow and mature in what God has for you. And I say that because a lot of times we can switch helping other people, rescuing other people, instead of developing in the maturity of the knowledge of God that He has for us from the Word, but also specifically. And so let's take a look here in 2 Timothy again, chapter 2, in verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. So again, he's encouraging the church to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. This is so much more important than us praying for people or us how many signs and wonders and miracles. All of these things that are wonderful experiences are not the same as being strong in sound doctrine and knowing the truth. The truth that God has for us as a body, the truth of who God is, but also the truth of who you are specifically in God. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message, and he talks about these two fellows, their message will spread like cancer. So there's people out there who are sharing messages that the Paul says will spread like cancer. That means they're not healthy. They're not dangerous, but they're enticing, because if you know it's not healthy, you're not going to take it. If you know it's dangerous, you're not going to take it. So there's a deception in these guys' message that it will spread like cancer. Verse 17. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who are straying concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they have overthrown the faith of some. So the cancer in their message was that the resurrection is almost past. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone whose names, the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. For in a great house, this is a key verse here I want us to look at. For in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. So the Apostle Paul talks about a great house. And so he's talking about the house of God. And he's talking about, in imagery, a house that we can see. So think of your own home. In your own home, you have vessels of honor, and there you also have vessels of dishonor. In our home, Christy has some very nice china that comes out a couple times a year for fancy meals that we celebrate. Then it goes back into the safekeeping. But we also have plastic cups and plates that we use every day. And we also have a trash can and a toilet and things for dishonor. There's a purpose for them. God is basically saying here that He'll find a place for you in His house, depending on if you are a vessel of honor and dishonor. And I don't want us to be confused that God did not tell you or make you that vessel. That's where He found you. That's where you found Him. And so if you're a vessel of dishonor, you're still part of the house and still going to go to heaven and still will be included in the business of the house. But you are a vessel of dishonor. And a vessel of honor is something that is celebrated and is very useful in God's hands. Verse 20 again. But in a great house, there's not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Now, I'm going to pause here again, because wherever, honestly, we find ourselves, because there's been times in my past that I've realized, I've been a preacher my whole life, since I've been 19. And not everyone's called to be a preacher. In fact, most people are called not to be preachers. You know, and in the body, you know, the body has a lot more parts than just the mouth. You know, but here he talks about in the house. There's vessels of gold, and there's vessels of silver, but wood and clay. So he's not talking about your calling in the body. In other words, if your calling is to be in business, you don't go from wood. You're not called as being a vessel of dishonor. You know, so now, if you really want to be a vessel of gold, a vessel of honor, you have to be anointed and walk in miracles and signs and wonders, and you have to preach and you have to share the gospel. Otherwise, you're a vessel of clay. So he's not saying the difference between gold and the difference between wood and clay, the difference between a vessel of honor and a vessel of dishonor has to do with your calling. He's actually saying the difference between a vessel of gold and silver versus a vessel of clay and wood, the difference between honor and dishonor has to do with the doctrine and truth that's in you and what it brings forward into your walk of holiness and your walk of maturity. So the difference between being a vessel of dishonor, because they're both in the house of God. So all these are in our lives together, in the church together, in the bodies together, and we're all going to be in heaven together. And when we get to heaven, really, praise God. If you make it to heaven, you're already doing great. There is danger here of missing heaven, according to this cancerous message that these two guys, I won't try to pronounce their names, that these two guys and others are preaching that are not built on truth, but are built on philosophy and idle babblings. So this is about the people that are in the gospel, that are still in the realm of truth, that they're going to heaven. There are some that are, we would say, are classified as gold and vessels of honor. And then there's some that are classified as wood and clay and dishonor. Vessels in our own house would be similar to the trash can versus the wonderful china that we bring out to celebrate certain days. And so God didn't put you there. That's where he found you, or that's where you live. And I can look back on my life and see, even while being a preacher, I have been at one time vessels of wood. While I preached and praised the Lord, hopefully I've moved up to become more valuable to God in my calling, but also in his body and also with him personally, that he, not that he sees me as more valuable, but I'm more useful. This is a beautiful verse. These two verses are so important because it gives hope to each of us, no matter where we honestly see ourselves or honestly find ourselves. Where we don't get distracted by what's important and start to fill our life trying to pretend that we are more valuable because of what we offer to God. See, by saying, God, I'm going to do this and this and this, and that'll make me more valuable. Here he tells us what makes us more valuable. But the hope in this message, the hope that he puts in here for you and for me, no matter what our calling is life-changing and should be so encouraging to us every day that it's not a disappointment to be honest with where you're walking. I work with people and encourage people on a regular basis, and part of my encouragement is that it's not a failure to struggle through things. It's not a failure to have to grow from where you are. And it's not a failure when you're frustrated because you're not growing in your eyes fast enough. And really, when we begin to compare ourselves to others, we can start thinking that we are a failure. You know, I had a group teach a lot of great truths, a lot of great things about God. But they really encouraged everyone. They brought the body of Christ out of being a body. A body is so complex. It's so many parts. And brought it down to a two-tiered system that everyone in the church is to go out. This is the job of everyone in the church, unless you're the speaker. The job of the body is to go out and win souls and pray for the sick and pray for broken people. And really that became the focus. This is what you're supposed to do. And those are great things to do. I think it's healthy for everyone to do both of those things. but it became the focus. So again, the focus was taken off of spending time growing and learning truth and maturing to go out and win souls. And there's something exciting about that for a season, but eventually you can be distracted and even get to a place to where you lose so much focus, you're not believing sound doctrine and sound truth. And the Lord told me about that type of focus, that those who are teaching the church to focus on just those two things, praying for people and winning souls and being focused that way, that once you're saved, that's your focus. The Lord spoke to me and said that that message will cost a whole generation their specific calling in Christ. Because you and I and everyone will never discover their specific place in the body that God has prepared for them and wants to walk them into through truth and His leading until they grow into it. And if we lose that focus and begin to get busy doing good works for God, you know, the body that is described by Paul is a description to help us to see how complex the body is, and that one part is never more important than the other. The calling of apostle is not more valuable than the calling of a businessman. And the calling to work at any place, a dentist or a homemaker, a housewife, a school teacher, someone in a restaurant, a waitress or a waiter, there's no calling that's more important, because when we realize, man, everything I do is empowered by God's strength, then I can't take any value from my life and say, I deserve this. Look how important I am. Or I can't take any value away from my life and say, I'm not as good as that person, so I'm disqualified or I'm less important. You know, an evangelist will come in and tell you, you need to win souls. I led 5 people to the Lord yesterday, prayed for 30 people. How many did you pray for? How many people did you win to the Lord? And you can then feel devalued in your calling, especially if your calling is maybe business and all you did was bring in a bunch of money to the kingdom, or someone bring, you know, there should be no competition between you and anyone else in any other position. The only standard we should have is you asking God, what do you have for me? And whatever He says to you, whatever He has you focus on in your life, whether it be a season of praying and fasting, where it be a season of just meditating the Word and not being busy in things, or a season of getting active and doing something specific, He's in charge if you let Him. And He will not fail you, and you won't fail in your calling if you keep focus on the right thing, on that which is important. So again, I want to read these verses, and I want these verses, us to look at these verses as great hope in our life and not discouragement at all. The great hope is, no matter where you start on this walk, you don't have to stay there. No matter where you find yourself on a scene, the way that God sees you where you're at, it's not in the calling. This isn't a comparison of callings, that I have called you to be a great apostle, and I've called Alan to be a waiter to work at restaurants. And so Alan is a vessel of dishonor, but the great apostle is a vessel of great honor. That's not the comparison. The comparison here is how much each individual has grown in the truth of the gospel inside of themselves personally, and how much they're walking in that truth that came from the Spirit and from the Word of God. And understand that the message here that's being spread by cancer, it's not a message from a different book. It's not a message from a different God. These two fellows, Hymenaeus and Philetus, they're not saying, hail Lucifer, and we're going to follow Lucifer now, or Buddha, or anything else like that. What they're saying is a message they're speaking for God, but they got it all mixed up and confused, and it's taking people away from God and destroying their chance for heaven. That's how dangerous this message is that they were speaking, and it's cancerous. It means it spreads. It doesn't just hit and fall. It's deceptive. So here the difference is not your calling versus someone else's calling. And God did not place you as a vessel of honor and me a vessel of dishonor, or vice versa. He found you there, and then Paul's trying to tell you, But wherever you find yourself, even if you're pursuing truth and you find yourself dysfunctional, but you're pursuing God, you're still useful for the master. So there is a point that the moment you're saved, he will include you in the family business. But to go further in your calling, further with God, where you give up the leadership of your life, not so much the daily tell me what to do, God, but more so, Father, what do you want me to focus on in my life? What do you want me to do? Because there's seasons where he'll have you focus just on your natural man and overcoming that and just on growth. And you can feel like, man, he just has me praying and fasting and worshiping and in the Word. And he doesn't allow me to be distracted. And some, you may see someone out there, God using them like crazy. And you think, well, I can do that. But he may not want you to do that. He may want you to do something, focus on something different for this season. And walking with God is full of different seasons in our life. And we never want to take one season and say, this is it, this is all I have. Because trust me, there's another season coming and another season. And there are seasons where you follow God where there's great encouragement, and there's seasons when there's great attack. But he'll walk you through all of them. He doesn't cause the seasons of attack, but he'll walk you through it because he has something so valuable for you to do. Only you can do it. And it's got to come through your time with him. Verse 19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Now let everyone whose name names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So he says the first focus is, let's begin to walk in holiness. Let's pursue holiness in our life. Let's accept that we can't have, we're not going to finish our course with him. I'm not saying heaven, but I'm saying you're not going to be able to be a vessel of honor and have areas of unholiness. Those are things he wants us to begin to wrestle with and overcome immediately the moment we're born again. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Again, he didn't choose what vessel we are. This is not a comparison of callings. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself of the latter, he'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So, the answer to being useful to the kingdom of God is not in getting busy, it's in listening and obeying and spending the time to follow God by his leadership, and to make this transformation possible for God, to go from a vessel of dishonor to a vessel of honor. How powerful is that? You may look at your life and say, man, I'm so earthly. I'm wood and clay. I'm so devalued in this world or in the kingdom of God in my life. But here he tells you, you don't have to stay there. I remember Pastor Dave Roberson said one time, and it was so powerful, just give me a chance. You know, please, somebody, just give me a chance. Tell me the truth, where I'm at, and give me a path to change. I'd much rather have honesty with being basically a vessel of wood and clay and know that I'm a vessel of wood and clay at this moment. Just give me a chance to do what I can do to no longer stay this way. But please don't just pat me on the back and tell me everything's great and give me love and just get me busy and so I stay the same the rest of my life. Tell me the truth. If I can be more and walk in more of God, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear that I can have more of God in my life. I can have more holiness. I can have more spiritual knowledge and truth in my specific calling. And praise God, it's up to me to walk in it with him. He will help me every step of the way. He'll give me strength and he'll give me direction, but I have to choose. I don't want to just go through life and think that I'm okay and get to heaven and find out that I really live my life for myself and not for his will. Verse 20 again. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, He will be a vessel of honor. So you and I have the ability to go into God, to go into His truth, to let it come forward, and it will bring forth a transformation that I'm a different person walking in a different place in God. That I may have failed last year, I may have failed 10 years ago, but I'm not the same. I'm not walking in the same place. In fact, you may have met me 20 years ago, and you'd, if your testimony of Alan 20 years ago might be, that boy's all clay, all wood, you know, dishonorable. But I'm not that same person because I've matured in God. And prayerfully, next year when you meet me, you'll say, wow, you're different. I want to say the same about you too, that we are both growing together in the knowledge of God and bringing that forward and walking in it, so that instead of you seeing me and the sun hits me, there's no reflection because it's wood and clay. All of a sudden you're blinded because of the gold and silver that I've become. And then he says, when you become a vessel of honor, and please, I'm trying to tie in the imagery with the imagery of spiritual growth from baby, from infant to mature man, from wood and clay to gold and silver. And prepare for every good work. You become useful for the master. He can begin to put you to work. I think Lester Sumrall said one time, or maybe it was Smith Wigglesworth, you know, when someone said, well, will God use me? He said, my Lord, you know, you get to the right place with God, He'll work you to death. There is something in your future that God wants to work you, use you, and not use you in like, I'm going to use you up, but include you in the family business to help change your world, the world around you, by Him as powerful and world-shaking for you. Not because you're a preacher, not because you're an evangelist or an apostle. It could be anything. There's knowledge in the Spirit that He has for you. I have one friend who's a businessman. All of a sudden, he began to get an idea for business that had to do with color that was like way beyond anything that anyone has ever thought of. God has things, knowledge in the Spirit that could rock the business world in just in a moment. If you're called to that business or to any business, God has things for you He wants to bring out from the Spirit, but not until you're a vessel of honor. And you could beg Him and say, God, I'll give you, you know, God, if you give me $1 million, I will take 10% and I'll give you 90%. Praise God. And I'll use it for you. And many people have run off the rails trying to call to business because they've believed their intentions were correct. I'll give all the money to you. So this is a great idea for business. And I can use the money. I'll use the money for the kingdom. And so just because they feel that their intentions are correct and that they will use the intent, and they mean it, I'll use the money for the kingdom, they run into business without being led into a business because they haven't learned to wait on God, to listen to God because He's in charge. And so they try to be in leadership and offer God the money. And I've seen many good, well-believing Christians fail at things because they thought because they'll do it for the kingdom of God, that it's a good thing. And here he says that he gets to choose what he uses you for. And when you're valuable, again, not in what you do, but in how you've matured. When you've matured enough, when you've made that transformation enough, you and I have made that transformation enough from clay and wood to becoming a vessel of gold and silver. It says here, verse 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee useful lust, but pursue righteousness. Now here it goes, faith, love, peace, without those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they will generate strife. He's given us a path here, a pattern, a pathway that we can walk in. No matter where we're starting right now, no matter where we're walking right now, I can tell you myself, as Paul even said, I mean, when Paul said it, that encouraged me. I'm not there yet. Not that I've arrived in the high call. Not that I've arrived yet, but I'm pursuing the high call of God. Well, I'm pursuing more of God every day. Not more activity. but more focus. God, what can I do? Well, until I do what he said, I'm not allowed to go somewhere else, even if it's something I think he would like. I can't pull bait and switch on him. He's focused. He's a leader in my life. He leads my steps, and wherever those steps are, he focuses me. And there are seasons I begged him to swap. Can I do this instead of that? Because it's so much harder to take the challenge when he puts it in front of you to grow in your inner man and to mortify your outward man. It's so much harder to take that focus than it is to do good things in the name of God, because you and I may think it's good things. And there's times where I've got off course, and the moment I, you know, this is why praying in tongues is so important, because when you pray in tongues, it helps you with the will of God. So there's so many times where I've, like a crazy person, went and I didn't go into sin, but went into busyness in the gospel, trying to run away from facing what he wanted me to face and hoping he would take it as a switch. Take this instead, because it was just so hard at the time. But he knew I could do it if I didn't quit. And he gave me strength. Thank God for praying in tongues, because it brought me around over and over to face the same things until I faced it. Verse 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee useful lusts, but pursue. Now, see that? Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace for those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Let me stop there, and I'm going to close quick. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. I'll let you go there real quick. 1 Corinthians 12. He says what we just read in 2 Timothy was, pursue these things, faith, love. I want you to see here in verse 31, 1 Corinthians 12. He says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And then he says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So here in verse 31, he says, earnestly desire. So we're to desire the gifts. The moment we're saved, even if we're vessels of dishonor, we are to desire the gifts of God to work through us. But we're not to live in that dishonor and not live in just the gifts. And he says, desire the gifts. So praise God, whatever you're walking in now, there's gifts from God to help us to be part of the body immediately at the level we're at. But if we make the focus on those things, we miss the point. Because he says, earnestly desire the best gifts. And he says, I'll show you a more excellent way. And if you want to know the more excellent way, look at verse 14. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. This is chapter 14, sorry, verse 1. Chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Now let's go back to 2 Timothy. Verse 22 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. So the pursuit that you and I are supposed to have, which is tied into, if you say, well, how do I quit being a vessel of wood and clay? Maybe you were like me and you got busy and unfocused from growing up and maturing in the Spirit and out of the leadership of God in that season, got busy in doing good things for God, but you found yourself repeatedly struggle and battle with the same insecurities, the same sins, the same problems over and over. He says, if you pursue this path of righteousness, of love, that's the pursuit. That's how we go from being vessels of clay and wood to be vessels of gold and silver, to become vessels of dishonor to becoming vessels of honor. Always in the master's house. You never have to worry about being in God's kingdom, as far as, you know, when you discover you're weak in an area or you're dishonorable in an area, pursue righteousness and love, the fruit of the Spirit. Pursue growth and maturity. Pursue this transformation. This is the season of my life to spend more time seeking him for my next season, to spend time in prayer, in fasting, in worship. And I don't know if we ever get out of that season. To me, that's the focus that I need to have on my life. And he has a right to put me, place me, direct me any way he wants. And he has a right to direct you any way he wants. But it's individually. It's not corporately. He's not calling the church to focus on just being busy praying for people and sharing the gospel all the time with everyone and losing the focus of transformation. Corporately, that's a message that will cost a generation their specific calling. And because God needs a body, desires a body that can walk the way he wants, that will allow him the right to move any way he wants, and not a body that is immature and ungrown. Because there is a danger that if we don't develop and grow in the solid doctrine and solid truth, and if we lift up the gifts and signs and wonders and prophecies, and I watch people pursue church services and pursue preachers and pursue prophecies and pursue camp meeting after camp meeting. All those, are good things. But when that becomes the focus and their pursuit, he tells us what we're to pursue. We're to pursue righteousness, love, joy. These are fruit of the Spirit, a matured inner man. That should be our focus. And in allowing him to take a step by step. If you're discouraged today with where you're at, don't be. Because if you will take the time and begin to focus your life on this transformation of clay and wood and into becoming a vessel of honor, and that's the power of this verse. That's the encouragement of this scripture that, hey, at least it's being honest. God, at least you're honest with me. I was hoping when I said, am I a vessel of clay or I'm a vessel of gold, right, God? And he said, well, really, you're really clay and I need you to step up a little bit. I remember one preacher said, I had asked God, where am I at on the transformation thermometer? And he thought, if it was 1 to 10, I'm probably like an 8 right now. All my years of seeking God and praying, praise God, I must be maybe an 8. And God told me, you're like a 2. And he said, what? A 2? You know, at least God's honest. And at least God is willing to accept you as a 2 and help you to grow into a 10. You know, and I'd rather be a 10 than a 2. I'd rather be a hard focused worker in pursuing growth and maturity and end up a 10 than a happy 2. God, don't let me be a happy 2. Let me become a 10. Help me, Father, to become a 10. Don't let me stray. Don't let me wander. Don't put up with me being a happy 2. I want to be a unhappy, a discontent. I don't want to be content with being a 2. I want to be discontent. I want to not be stuck at a 2 and just live my life as a 2 and in fake happiness. I want to get to heaven and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You fought hard to pursue these things and you put aside your youthful lusts and pursuing your natural man's desires. You allowed me, son, to lead your life. When wherever that took you, you followed. You know, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And I pray I know that's your prayer too. So let's pray that right now. Father, together we decide that we don't want to be vessels of dishonor. We don't want to be vessels of clay and wood and whatever our calling is. Where we walk in that calling, that's up to you, that you lead our steps, Father. And if you lead us to the path where we are yours, and if you lead to seasons, we're content to follow you in those seasons, but we're not content to stay where we're at. We see a promise here, Father, that we can become vessels of gold and vessels of silver, vessels of honor. So we won't slack. We won't give up until we walk that out. And I thank you for your strength and your encouragement and your love and your mercy for us every moment of every day as we focus on pursuing you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being with me today. It's been my pleasure. God bless you.